Cyber terrorism. It's a term you've probably heard by now. The frightening prospect that terrorists might infiltrate U.S. computer systems and wreak all kinds of havoc. But how real is this threat, and how much of it is hype, like all those warnings about Y2K computer bugs, warnings that turned out to be unfounded? Well, those were some of the questions asked during last week's Global Summit on Cyber Terrorism, held here in Washington. Among those attending was Robert Bain, a security expert for Micromuse Company. Also joining us in the studio is Dan Verton, a senior writer with Computer World magazine. Robert, let's start with you. Tell us a bit more about cyber terrorism. What exactly is it?
Cyber terrorism is the exploitation of the computer systems and the internet for misuse of terrorists or anybody who has a grudge against a given company, government organizations.
But let's say there's an attack on a computer system. Maybe it's emergency rescue services, maybe it's power, maybe it's banking. And then what happens? People can't use their ATMs, or is it more serious than that?
It starts out very simple, like ATMs, their phone systems, but it'll start to spread. Key systems, your 9/11 systems go down, your police are not able to respond, or they're responding to malicious or wrong addresses, or firehouses are all of a sudden being sent out on calls that are non-existent while fires are taking place.
So this is more than a matter of inconvenience.
Right.
Dan Verton, to what extent is this simply a matter of perception? In other words, on September 10th, there was a certain danger of cyber terrorism out there. Suddenly, September 11th comes along, and that perception is hyped up, and people are more aware of it. Or is there, in fact, more of a threat?
There is, in fact, more of a threat. And the concern of a lot of the senior officials in the White House is that the next attack will be more than likely a combination of a physical and a cyber attack. And let me give you an example. If you were to conduct another bombing on the scale of, say, 9/11 or close to it, you've got a mass casualty event. Now, if you also launch a simultaneous cyber incident that knocks out telecommunications and power in the same region, you've got a situation where search, rescue, and recovery is significantly complicated. And 9/11 also proved that. There were folks who had a very difficult time communicating because the main regional switching station, the most communications-intensive sector region of the country, was knocked out at 140 West Street. Wall Street was taken offline for a week.
And what did that mean?
Well, that meant that President Bush got on the phone with the director of the National Communications System, and he told him, he said, I've got three priorities. Priority one and two is rescue and recovery. Priority three is get Wall Street back online, because the nation can't live, you know, it's the equivalent of the nation's arteries, and the lifeblood of the nation flows through Wall Street. And any more than a week, and we would start to see serious economic repercussions.
Well, are groups like Al-Qaeda, are they equipped to launch a cyber terrorist attack? Do they have, number one, the expertise, and number two, the infrastructure to carry out these attacks?
Well, the expertise is available in every corner of the globe. The world-class level hackers that would be required to pull something like this off number in the tens of thousands around the world. And you have a situation, particularly in Moscow, where you've got hackers for hire. You've got a terrible economic situation there, where you've got people who have the skills and the connections, the equivalent of our director of the National Security Agency, who are willing to sort of take advantage of this toxic blend of crime, business, and government. And they put themselves, their skills out there for hire, and it is not beyond reason to think that a terrorist group like Al-Qaeda or another group mm-hmm. would be able to hire these individuals to do their bidding online.
And sometimes these individuals might be students, young students.
That's
I remember
correct.
The infamous I Love You bug, which disrupted so many people's emails around the world, was actually launched from a shanty town, really, in Manila by a student, and not a very good student at that. And I guess the point is, it does not take much to launch these attacks, does
That's
it?
Right. Now, fortunately, the government's been working on a solution for quite a while now. On September 18th, you'll see a plan being released by the Bush administration, which is titled the National Plan for Protection of Cyberspace. And they've been working with the private sector, which owns and operates 85-90% of the nation's critical systems. They've been working with them to come up with a plan plan to make sure that they are being proactive in ensuring that if they want to do business in the United States, that they are taking cybersecurity seriously, and that they understand that for the first time in the nation's history, private companies are on the front lines of national defense.
Mm-hmm. Robert Bain, your company is in the business of trying to protect computer systems, protect people, really, from these kinds of attacks. What can be done?
Basically, it's more of getting an understanding of making vendors talk to each other, getting the information that in past was in silos and sharing that across.
Silos?
Basically, the security organization or security groups of major corporations were separate.
So in other words, you had sort of the main part of the business over here, and in a corner room, you had the security people, and if you had a problem, you went to them.
Right, and you'd never see it, and as you say, that's the security folks. Mm-hmm. We never have to deal with them.
And now what's the approach?
Now is we see coming together because they're realizing that how important that when you miss something in security, so your firewall lets something in, you'll see start attacks happening in your internetworking world, some anomalies that you're not expecting. In the past, that information wasn't changed, and the key point is bringing those two sides of the house together.
It sounds like obviously there are developments in terms of countering the cyber terrorist threat. But can we ever be 100% secure?
No. As long as there's a critical service that's connected to the internet, it's vulnerable.
Do you think Americans who love their computers and love their internet might be willing to give up some of their connectivity in order to be more secure?
No.
Simply no?
No. I mean, let's take it to the current debate that's raging right now, which is, you know, are you willing to give up your civil liberties or your privacy for more security? And the answer, generally speaking, is no.
We want to have it all, don't we?
We want to have it all. And I think we've come to be a little spoiled when it comes to our experience online. You know, the internet is anarchy.
Robert, would you agree?
Most definitely. Nobody's willing. Everybody wants it, but they're not willing to give up to get the security that they require.
Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Robert Bain is a security expert for the Micromuse company. Dan Vertin is a senior writer with Computer World magazine.